We spent much of last week trying to examine what still divides our country and the deep polarization that preceded the January 6th riots last year. Tonight, Paul Solman looks at multiple efforts to bridge those major political and cultural divides in the U.S., beginning with smaller steps forward.
Polarization in America. The data are unreal. According to a poll just out, a projected 25 million American adults think force is at least somewhat justified to restore Donald Trump to the presidency. In a poll before the last election, 18% of Democrats approved of violence if their candidate lost, and 15% of Republicans and 20% of Democrats agreed that the country would be better off if large numbers of the opposing party just died.
We are in a crisis.
Psychologist Peter Coleman runs Columbia University's Center for Cooperation and Conflict Resolution.
So how bad is polarization in America, Peter, compared to the past?
It's bad. I mean, John Meacham, the historian, has compared today as being similar to where America was in the 1850s, right before the U.S. Civil War.
Coleman's RX is detailed in a recent book, The Way Out, which begins with a fatal 1994 shooting rampage at two abortion clinics outside Boston. In the wake of that tragedy, activists on both sides of the issue agreed to meet. Pro-life Barbara Thorpe's image of the pro-choice activists?
Hard and harsh. Angry.
Pro-choice Episcopal priest Ann Fowler's image of pro-life advocates?
Not thoughtful. Not deep.
And, says Peter Coleman,
they still remained opposed to one another on the issue of abortion, on pro-life, pro-choice, but they developed affection for one another and relationships that were thick and important. And ultimately, they changed the probabilities around violence in America on this issue.
No changed minds, however.
So does that in some sense mean that the experience was a net negative?
No, it was an absolute net positive. It was one of the best, hardest and best things I've ever done. It changed me. I think it changed all of us irrevocably.
They've been friends for 28 years.
We at my center study deeply divided societies that at some point stop and pivot and choose to change course.
And pivoting, many Americans now are through a host of bridging efforts.
There are 7,000 organizations and individuals that we have put on a map.
Princeton's Neilan Parker tracks efforts to come together.
But if you're asking the question of how many people across the country are interested in participating in bridging organizations, that is just the tip of the iceberg.
Organizations like Resetting the Table, Braver Angels, the Greater Good Science Center, which recorded this bridging encounter. Liberal Isaac was shown conservative Kristen's bio. He didn't know she was watching in the next room.
Trump supporters, it's just, there's no way around it. Like, they're mentally deranged. You're not right in the head.
Because I like Trump right away, he says I'm mentally deranged. He don't know me, you know what I'm saying? And that's wrong, you know? That's prejudice to me.
But then they learned that each had experienced great loss. Kristen's sister died when she was 16. Aunt and grandparents who raised her died in quick succession. Isaac lost his mother, his grandfather, his cat.
Kidders, my cat, I found her headless carcass on the road. She got run over by a car, and it was just too much.
By the time they met in person.
This is Isaac.
Hi, I'm mentally deranged.
Political differences were becoming a humorous footnote.
You and I see certain things similar. You and I have had similar experiences with loss.
Yes.
This experience we're sharing is going to color my interactions going forward with other people.
Because you never know what someone might be going through in their life or what's, you know, the problems they have. So just don't be quick to get angry.
And then there's one small step, an offshoot of NPR's StoryCorps. In 2016, Amina Amdeen attended an anti-Trump rally in Texas. Counter-protester Joseph Weidnecht wore a MAGA hat. They came to StoryCorps to remember the moment.
And I noticed that you were surrounded by some people, and I noticed that they were being kind of threatening, and then somebody snatched your hat off your head. And that's the point where I something kind of snapped inside me because I wear a Muslim hijab, and I've been in situations where people have tried to snatch it off my head.
Wow. I don't think we could be any further apart as people, and yet it was just kind of like this common, that's not okay moment. You are genuinely the only Muslim person I know.
You know, it's hard to hate up close.
Dave Isay created StoryCorps, and his experience there has taught him people like to get up close. Moreover,
there's an organization called More in Common that talks about the exhausted majority, and that's 93% of the country. 93% of the country are exhausted by the divides and, you know, want to find a way out.
Like the name of Peter Coleman's book. And even Congress has several bridging efforts, including the devoutly bipartisan Veterans Caucus for Country.
Veterans get things done, and that's what they learn in the service, and they set aside personal differences and political differences, and they dig the foxhole.
Conservative Texas Republican Van Taylor, who served in Iraq, and Virginia Democrat Elaine Lurie.
Commanding officer, businesswoman, mom.
There's rules within the caucus that say 75% of the members of the caucus have to agree on this for the caucus to endorse it. And so that requires working together, coming to the table, making trade-offs.
Finally, an effort I've worked on, the American Exchange Project, a domestic foreign exchange program for high school seniors based on the underlying principle of coming together, overcoming stereotypes.
There's definitely a stereotype of, you know, the South being poor and uneducated.
Sam Bucher was a high school senior in Wellesley, Massachusetts. Leticia Vallejo in Kilgore, Texas. When she first met kids like Sam online.
They were more privileged than us. Like, you could tell by, like, their education and everything, like, the way they talked. I was scared that since I didn't have that education or anything, like, we were more underprivileged.
For 2 years, in online hangouts featuring everything from push-up contests to sibling squat challenges, debates over the Confederate flag to is a hot dog a sandwich, high schoolers north and south have connected and this July hit the road to see each other's America.
Okay, I'm about to go on the T.
Are you excited?
Train station for the first time.
For Alana Alsworth from Lake Charles, Louisiana, her very first trip away from home or on a subway. But back to the Way Out author for the key question.
What are the odds that America is going to actually achieve anything like reconciliation and bridging anytime soon?
The odds are good, but the work is hard. There are not simple fixes to this. We're going to have to recognize, like addiction, that this is a long-term problem that has been, you know, gaining steam for decades, but we can do it. And I think the urgency of certainly violence that we see on the streets is something that will motivate us.
And as they said goodbye after 2 weeks, the kids in the American Exchange Project at least had taken the first small step.
End of vlog. End of vlog.
They'd made friends and recorded it in a blog to share back home. For the PBS NewsHour, Paul Salmon.